All right. Walker, what's up, dude?
Kyle, how's it going?
It's going good, man. What's new on the vineyard?
Man, here on the vineyard, it's officially fall. We just had a fun little visitor. Mark Sucha came and skated the park and cruised around for a day.
Nice.
And yeah, we're just getting ready to like move back to New York.
Nice. Couple last days at the vineyard and then head back to New York for the why do you guys go to New York? Why do you guys spend so much time in New York when it's freezing there?
Don't get me started. Whitney loves Whitney. You can't tear her away from somewhere where there's a beach in the summer for mm-hmm. anything. Like, there's no selling a one bedroom apartment in Manhattan during the hottest months. There's just no way you can do it with no outdoor space. Yeah.
She doesn't go for the hot, humid apartment during the summer in New York. Okay.
Which for the handful of avid listeners out there, you've been talking about this New York trip for almost the entire year, and it finally happened.
It did.
Let's hear a little report.
It was a blast. I have never been so sore so much in my life, but it was all worth it. We had a lot of fun. Good skating. We got a lot of quality, especially me, because we were sleeping in the same room. A lot of quality time with our buddy David Cole. So it was fun. Did you have fun?
Oh, I had a blast. It was really, there's nothing like experiencing New York through a first timer's eyes with them. Like, David had never been to New York before, so like it's a really cool experience to show someone that city for the first time, because I think it's just the greatest city on earth.
And he ate it up.
Yeah.
He had a blast, you could tell.
Yeah.
And the best thing about the trip is nobody got injured.
Nobody, all these three old dogs did not get injured.
Yeah.
Both, all three who haven't been skating all that much, you know? I was hurt almost the entire summer.
That's right.
You've been a little off the, I mean, you've been training, you've been getting your days in.
Yeah, I've been skating a little bit, but not, I mean, my body hasn't gone through consecutive days of skating like that since, you know, I was in my 20s. So that was, I feel lucky that, you know, there were no injuries.
Yeah. And Dave definitely hasn't been skating, and he hung in there and didn't get hurt. I'm psyched.
Oh,
and you got
man.
Clips.
Yeah.
You got some clips.
I got some clips.
People should know
yeah.
that Kyle Brown got some clips.
They weren't easy.
Yeah.
Nothing came easy, but it was super fun.
Yeah.
So yeah, we'll have to make it an annual thing.
Yep. We'll see if Whitney approves. Whitney was at one point, my wife was in the one sharing the one bedroom with you two. And it was a
God
lot,
bless
was
her,
lot.
Dude. I don't know how she did that.
But yeah, then she eventually dipped out. But
were you able to clean the apartment and leave no trace of Dave?
There
and
was
I?
No trace, no odor.
Nice.
I mean, Dave kept his shoes outside every day, so it was.
That's true.
It was a considerate move on his part.
That's true.
So today I thought it would be fun to revisit the static stretching episode we did early on in the first season, let's call it, of Old Friends Fitness, mm-hmm. because we haven't put that one out publicly. And I think it's still one of the conversations that I have to go back to and listen to, because people are always asking me about stretching, and I'm, you know, mm-hmm. not the expert in this situation. So I have to double check what you say in it. And I usually just tell people to listen to it, but I thought it would be nice to just have it out there for the world.
Yeah, I'm excited. This is just a hotly debated topic in all corners of the fitness physical therapy world. So it's fun to have to bring that conversation to the skateboard world as well. So, and I'm excited we're going to release it for everyone to hear.
Yeah.
So I think people will be. It's an interesting topic. I think what we have to say about stretching might be surprising to some people. So I think skaters will enjoy listening to this one.
Definitely. But so before we go into that, let's talk SOTY predictions. You know, it's
that time of the year, huh?
It's that time of the year, dude. It's SOTY season. Parts are about to be dropping left and right. You know, everyone's gearing up to unload. It's really like a season of video watching. I would expect, you know, it could be a dry year. Who knows? But I
doubt it. This is my favorite time of the year for video watching because, you know, companies, you would know better than me, but it seems like companies kind of strategically release video parts this time of the year.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of good skating that has already happened this year, but I think more to come, right?
Right. So it's an interesting time to say thus far who we think might be skater of the year. So let's hear your first few predictions or instincts or just the stuff you've liked so far.
Yeah, I mean, I was trying to think. I consume a lot of skate media, so I hope I'm not forgetting some people, but the two that stand out to me so far are Louis. Louis is my number one.
Yep. Louis Barletta, right?
Yeah, Louis Barletta. No, Louis Lopez has already dropped two really amazing video parts this year, and I feel like he's got one or two more coming. So he's my number one, and I really hope he gets it. I feel like he should have gotten it in past years, but I hope this year is his year. He's just such a good all-around skater.
Yeah.
And his FA video part might be my favorite video part of the year so far. So he's number one. Number two, this Bobby DeKaiser video part that just dropped was insane. So I might have what's it called when,
like, recency bias or something? Yeah, like that? What's the word?
This might be recency bias, but he's up there in my mind. If he drops another solid video part, he's at least in the conversation. And what about you?
So I'm with you that Louis is probably going to get it. Like, I think it's meant to be. I think everyone in skateboarding, Thrasher especially, wants to give it to him.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there's a good chance it could go to Tyshawn Jones again.
Wow.
And it's kind of I just think he's going to have, this is like not recency bias, but locale bias.
Uh-huh.
I'm in New York and I'm constantly hearing the buzz of the stuff he's done. And it's starting to trickle out into the magazine, like photo here, photo there. That is like groundbreaking tricks, in my opinion, like what he's sitting on. And so it'll be interesting to see how all of his footage rolls out. And I think it's going to be a Tyshawn versus Louis thing. It's going to be, you know, 2022 is going to be those two. And that's the discussion. But I think as things stand, if you're just sort of a normal person watching the internet, I think people would want to see T-Funk or assume that T-Funk might be one of the like people who will get Sody, because he had that insane part.
The Baker part?
Yeah, the Baker part.
Yeah.
Which was super good.
It was good.
He had that very legendary frontside ollie at the China Banks.
Yep.
There was like sort of coupled coincidentally with like an entire documentary about that spot, you know?
Uh-huh. Yep.
Which had been, you know, in the process for years. It wasn't all about T-Funk, but it's just a nice little like extra boost of coverage for it. And then, dude, he and the GX dudes skated the top of Mason Rail. And he did a couple tricks,
one of which
he bombed the entire Mason Rail, which personally I'm pretty psyched on. I think he did nose grind and Smith grind on that rail and took the whole hill.
Was he the one who made it down the whole hill bomb?
No, that was what's the bearded guy's name?
Oh yeah, that's right. He does backside lip slide and then bombs the whole hill.
He actually ends the video, but then T-Funk had just like a clip on Instagram where he like also bombed the whole thing.
So is T-Funk, is he kind of like your dark horse?
I think there's a chance he could just do something to spin it, but I sort of don't think he'd get it.
But you're saying Tyshawn, even though he hasn't released any video parts this year, might be the undeniable Sody, just because
it's possible.
Even though the industry kind of wants to give it to Louis, they might not have a choice but to give it to Tyshawn. Wow.
Yeah. I don't think anyone's going to put out the kind of gnarly skating that Tyshawn's probably going to put out. Is going to be, I don't think anyone's going to step to it. You know, there might be some really crazy rail stuff that comes out, But the the type of skating he's doing, powerful, popped, but also gnarly tricks, I think is just going to be really fun to watch. And it's going to be similar. I mean, because he hasn't put anything out since the Supreme video, 2018. Yeah. So he's just been working, you know, and it's a different kind of production, or it's a different kind of output than what Louis will do, which will be like another amazing part that will just like be so pleasing on the eyes. But I don't think it'll have that sort of like groundbreaking element to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I feel like if Louis gets Sodi, it will be because of the amount of content he puts out, and I feel like his skating is so consistently good.
Yeah.
That will be the deciding factor.
Yeah. Kind of in a similar way with Mark, where it'll just be like,
exactly,
okay, it's fucking time. This guy's gotta be a Sodi. Like he just is. And you know, Mark's definitely had a lot of output, but I do think his rail skating that he did, like how creative it was and how many sort of never been known tricks were like tied into like that one sort of montage of onslaught of clips. Mm-hmm. I think that sort of like set him over the edge.
Yeah.
Into Sodi land. And Louis could very well do that too in some kind of way, you know.
I feel like if he just gets one or two memorable standout bangers, I think that's all he needs.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's going to do that, but I feel like that's what he needs, and then he's got it.
Yeah.
I also think that to win Sodi twice, your shit has to be so gnarly that there's no choice, you know?
Yeah.
So if you think Tyshawn is going to be, because he won it, what, 2018, 2019?
Yeah, 2018. So he was that year's Sodi. But the year he put out that one part.
But you think his stuff is going to be that crazy?
I think so. But there's also a possibility that, you know, you watch it and it won't feel that different than the last one. That's always a chance with that kind of skating, the kind of skating he's doing.
Right.
The kind of skating anyone's doing. It's like that first impression is sometimes the strongest, when it's like, okay, he's not a kid anymore. He's doing like real grown man skating, and it's insane. So we'll see how that ends up coming out. But I'm looking forward to it as a fan.
Yeah, it's going to be fun to watch.
What about some dark horse candidates for you?
I mean, you might think it's kind of out there, but I was watching TJ, the Canadian dude, TJ Rogers, is that his name?
Yep.
I was watching his VX shoe part.
Yeah.
For what shoe company is he on? S?
Yeah.
His VX part for S the other day, I was like, dude, this guy is low-key doing really gnarly shit. And I joked with you. I was like, "Yo, is this guy on Sodi level?" Is like, "Yeah, that part was good, but his other part that he released 6 months ago is even gnarlier." So I went and rewatched that. I was like, "Dude, this guy has dropped two really gnarly video parts in 1 year. He should at least be in the discussion." So TJ Rogers,
I like that.
My dark horse, kind of out there, but he's so good.
Yeah, I really like that because he also had a gnarly year because he had, I think, testicular cancer.
Oh, wow.
So I think he underwent like chemo and got like right back to filming. I think that's why they called that part Unstoppable, because it just like didn't slow him down in the least. And I'm a huge fan of his video parts, the ones that he's been putting out lately. I definitely liked the first one more than the VX one that just came out. They're both cool.
Yeah.
A little similar, in my opinion. It'd be nice to see him. Or he skated a good amount of like Canada and Toronto, I think, in the first one, which is why I liked it.
In the first one. And the second one, I think it's more like California, LA skating.
So I want to see more of like the skating he does in this city, because he's really gnarly, dude. He jumps down 16 stairs. Like
super gnarly.
They're 5 stairs. It's crazy. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, and he's not a skater that I would typically like.
Yeah,
but there's something about his style that I appreciate and enjoy watching. So
you just like the pants?
I think I like the baggy pants.
Yeah. You probably have a window open on your computer that's like about to order whatever those pants are.
Yeah, and I just can't quite pull the trigger.
Yeah. So, okay. The other person I think has a good shot, like actually has a good shot, is Jake Anderson.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Is he going to release something else, you think?
Yeah, I'm sure he is. Actually, I have no idea. Mm-hmm. I just would assume
that's a good one.
That's a good one. He's doing all the Thrasher things, I feel like, you know. And
yep.
It seems like they love him. He just got on Nike, and he's awesome. I really like his skating. It has like a spontaneous feel to it, or like a little mm-hmm. sketchy, a little hairy mm-hmm. sometimes. And I don't know. I'm a big fan.
Yeah, and from a company point of view, there's no one else in the Nike camp that they're going to push for Sody, right?
Probably
that I
not.
Can think of.
Yeah.
Because Tyshawn's Adidas, Louis, Converse. So,
yeah
that they'll probably try to. I feel like they would want to push someone to at least be in the conversation. So that's a good one.
Yeah. And then the person I would like to see get it. Well, no, I'd like him to be in the conversation, like put out another video part, is Heitor da Silva.
Oh, is that the Portuguese guy?
I think he's a Brazilian. Swedish or something like that. Or
okay.
Something like that. I think he grew up in Malmo. Maybe.
He's on Palace.
He's on Palace, yeah.
Yeah, that guy's super good.
Yeah. I just love his that part is the one I've watched the most. But dude, we haven't even talked about anyone from the Primitive camp.
That's true. Yeah, Carlos should be I think Carlos was the favorite and then he got injured, right?
Yeah, maybe.
So, he dropped did that Primitive video come out this year?
Yeah. How crazy is that you have to ask that? It was like basically summer came out. It's like,
damn. It's just, there's just so much shit comes out, man. Yeah. I just the timeline.
I totally agree with you though. It feels like a lifetime ago.
Yeah, but Carlos and Thiago.
Yeah.
Thiago, I'm sure, will be at least in the conversation.
Yeah. I wonder.
Anyone else from Primitive that should be in the mix?
I bet they'll throw around some Wade talk. I could see Wade putting something out and they'll be like, yeah, Wade.
Yeah. But yeah, that's true. Those guys have been just killing it this year.
Yeah.
But all right, so we threw all these names out here. What's your final prediction?
Well, since it sounds like you're going with Louis, I'm just gonna say Tyshawn. So we're against each other.
All right.
And then we should put some money on it.
All right, $10?
Yeah, I'll do $10.
All right, $10. And then we'll revisit it when the announcement. After the announcement's made.
Yep. Which will probably be in like 2 months. So it'll be a good time for another podcast.
Yep. All right. Well, we finished the 20-minute intro to our 15-minute podcast. So should we get this out there?
Yeah, let's put it out there. And as a reminder, you know, we have a lot of discussions like this covering all sorts of topics. And then they're accompanied by videos showing you, demonstrating, you know, exercises, strengthening tips, in this case, a static stretching program, which I think I actually put on YouTube. So that one's free. It's out there, but there's a paywall for a lot of stuff. And there's so much good content covering a huge range of injuries and topics.
Yeah. Any injury that a skater goes through, we have content of those injuries on our Patreon with exercise videos, informational podcasts. It's all there. So check it out if you guys need some good stuff.
Yep. And it's patreon.com/oldfriendsfitness or oldfriendsandco.com. So thank you everyone who has supported us for the last couple of years. We love you and there's more to come.
All right.
Enjoy this episode.
So you've really gotten into my head about when to stretch. I always thought that it was just the first thing you should do when you get to a skate spot. But when is it appropriate to do stretches like this?
Yeah, that's a loaded question. But yes, there are times when you should static stretch and when you shouldn't, for sure. So you should definitely not be doing long bouts of static stretching before a skate session.
So, and why?
Like we talked about a little bit earlier, if you're doing static stretches for more than 45 seconds, you're going to start messing with your performance. So you're not going to be as strong, you're not going to be as powerful, you're not going to be as quick on your feet. So therefore, you should not be static stretching before a skate session. So I would do something more like a dynamic stretch routine or some sort of a cardiovascular warm-up before you skate, but not static stretch.
That's so interesting. I feel like it's just contrary to everything I was taught as a kid going to PE class or skate camp. Like, it just seems so backwards.
Yeah, there's been like a certain narrative that's been ingrained into kind of the general athlete's head that you should be stretching before and after practice or performing, but it's not necessarily true. And on top of that, I used to say dynamic stretch before you skate and then static stretch after you skate.
Uh-huh.
But there's actually more research coming out saying that if you're a regular static stretcher, meaning if you stretch a few times a week, two to three times, 30 seconds each body part, if you're a consistent static stretcher, it's going to chronically decrease your strength and your performance. So these days, I'm kind of not having many people static stretch before or after a session. I don't recommend static stretching nearly as much as I used to.
So if it's not, okay, so back up. So if it's not before and it's not directly after, when do you do it? Like, we're making a whole video about static stretching. Like, when should you actually do these stretches?
Yeah, like, why the fuck do we make this video, right? No, there are certain times when you can stretch.
Okay.
And like, there are some people that say never, ever static stretch. I'm not quite in that camp. I think there is a place for static stretching. Some people just really like to stretch, and some people really like to stretch before skating. So if you, there's kind of like a meditative quality to stretching, like you're getting your mind right before skating. I think there's something to that. So if you really like stretching before skating, you can stretch before skating. Just do short bouts of stretching. Don't stretch more than 45 seconds because you're going to mess with your strength and your quickness and your speed.
That's
crazy. So if you like stretching, keep doing your static stretches, but do like short 10, 15 second stretches. You don't overdo it.
Huh.
And the same goes for after the session. Some people just enjoy winding down and relaxing with some static stretching after a session, and I get that. So if you want to keep doing that, you can, and it might actually help decrease some of the soreness that you feel after a heavy session. Just don't overdo it. Do short stretches.
Okay. And then when it comes to, I mean, we started this conversation talking about improving flexibility. Like, I look at myself skating and I see footage sometimes and I'm just like, ugh, I'm so stiff. Like, it just looks stiff when I land. Like, my legs don't bend the way they should. Like, I want that Reynolds Miles Silva squat.
Right. So you're saying that when you see yourself in footage and you're landing with stiff legs, let me ask you this, does that make you think you need to stretch more?
Yeah.
Believe it or not, that's probably less of a flexibility issue and more of a lack of strength issue. Your muscles aren't strong enough to absorb that impact, so they stay stiff because the muscles can't do what they're supposed to do. So I'd actually see that footage and say, oh, you probably need to strengthen your quads a little bit more.
Strengthen, wow.
Yeah,
huh.
A lot of things that we used to think were flexibility related might not be as much flexibility related as we once thought. It might be more of a strength issue. So In general, I tend to recommend strength training more often than flexibility work, at least more than I used to.
So what's going on with guys like Reynolds and
you mean
Miles
Reynolds
Silvis or
guys like or Reynolds Sheckler. And Silvis who can squat so low that their ass pretty much touches the ground?
Yeah. Is that kind of genetic? Like, did they just form, are their bodies just better suited in a way? Like, do they just have naturally stronger quads? Like, how do you get there?
Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. There is a flexibility component to squatting. And guys like Reynolds and Silvis naturally have that more than people like me. But, you know, instead of, let's say you want to get that, I would actually put you on a squatting program where you're working on squatting and being able to take more weight, but also taking weight into deeper positions. I'd actually have you work on that as opposed to, all right, just go stretch your hips out or go stretch your hamstrings out, stuff like that.
What do you do to get around how stiff and gross you feel when you're spending so much time in a car and then you're going straight to skating?
Yeah. Again, you know, when you're going from one spot to the next and you're stuck in rush hour and you get out of the car and you want to start skating straight away, just do a dynamic stretching routine or break out the jump rope. Do something else besides just holding a static stretch for a long period of time and potentially compromising your strength.
A lot of this is reminding me of when I was like 22 and I was really into yoga.
Yeah.
Lived down the street from a studio and would go a few times a week. And I thought of it as just a way to get my stretching in. And it really kind of backfired because I ended up pulling my hamstrings so bad in that yoga class that I was out for like 3 weeks. I couldn't skate. Was I wrong then to be thinking like yoga will help me be more flexible, will help me get that quality stretch in every day and I'll be stronger for it? Like, was that kind of not the right way to think about it?
I mean, were you holding a yoga stretch pose for more than 60 seconds?
Probably.
Yeah, you might have been overdoing it and putting your body at a disadvantage for your next session.
So the main thing to be thinking about is just don't do it longer than 30 seconds. Like, but does that also mean like switching legs and going back and doing it for 30 seconds? That's okay, or 30 seconds total?
One bout of 30 seconds. That's what I can safely recommend. So not two sets of 30 seconds like most of us were taught as kids. One set of 30 seconds in each spot and then move on. This is a forever debated topic. But the research basically says that if you stretch for more than 60 seconds at a time, you're going to start losing your strength and power and speed and all that stuff. If you stretch for less than 45 seconds, it looks like you're not going to lose your strength, power, speed. But I just choose 30 seconds because that's just a safe. It's safe as far as not messing with your performance, but it's enough to increase your flexibility. So it's that kind of that sweet range.
Yeah.
That sweet spot, so to speak.
I also used to always think that static stretching was a good way to avoid muscle tears. Like stretch, so then if I'm jumping down a stair set, I'm not gonna strain my calf or pull a muscle in my leg. Like, is that the wrong way to think about it?
Kind of. I mean, it's still up in the air. Some research says that it might help decrease your chances of straining a muscle. Static stretching does not help prevent ligament tears or tendon tears. Even the idea of it preventing a muscle strain, that's still up in the air. And just remember, there are other ways that you can prevent, you know, muscle strains besides static stretching. So I just have people do those things.
So there's every knee and ligament is different, but if I'm most worried about potentially tearing an ACL, like there's a lot more to do than think that like doing a nice little stretch is going to help.
Correct. Static stretching is not nearly as important as we once thought, and to the point where, I mean, I don't recommend it a whole lot unless it's to help manage pain. And then also being really, really flexible in general doesn't have as much advantages as we once thought.
Weird.
Yeah.
That seems just so backwards.
I know. I mean, in skateboarding, it kind of depends on what sport you're playing. And in skateboarding, there are, you know, you do have to have a certain amount of flexibility just to do what you need to do. But it's just not as important as we thought it used to be. It's just looking more and more like athletes need to focus on their strength and their speed and their power and stuff like that, and focus less on flexibility.
So at the end of the day, every skater who hates stretching can walk away feeling pretty good about themselves. Their instincts, huh?
Yeah. Yeah.
I feel like that's one of the most common things you hear. Like, oh, I fucking hate stretching.
Yeah, you don't need to force it. You can do other stuff to help with your flexibility. A lot of strengthening exercises actually increase your flexibility. So if you're like squatting, for instance, if you work on slowly getting into a deeper and deeper squat when you're at the gym, you're going to improve your flexibility. And there are other specific exercises, like there's this hamstring exercise called the Nordic hamstring curl.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. You remember?
You made me do that one.
Yep. Yeah. So there's a couple studies that show that if you do that exercise, you're going to improve your hamstring flexibility.
So I know you don't use static stretching too much in your clinic. Are there any examples when you've used it with a skater?
Yeah, let me think. Yeah, I had a patient who had some knee pain, and the pain was limiting him from squatting in general, but also squatting like when he was kind of loading up to pop during skating. So we did a full examination, and we learned that the most important things that he had to work on were his quad and his glute strength. They just weren't strong enough to kind of withstand the stresses he was putting on it with day-to-day activities. So that was a long-term solution that we had to kind of achieve. But we also discovered that in addition to those strength deficits, his quad or his front thigh muscles were really tight and stiff. And we found that a simple static stretch would temporarily take his squatting pain away, but a dynamic stretch wouldn't. So we had this issue where we needed to get his quads more flexible to help get him out of pain. And we had one stretch that did get him out of pain, but one didn't. And that pain relieving.
Interesting.
Yeah. And the pain relieving stretch happened to be like a static stretch. So that was a situation where I allowed him to keep doing the static stretch to improve flexibility, but also get rid of pain. And then that's, you know, you just kind of give up the strength and the power and the performance. If you think about it, you temporarily give up that performance part to get him out of pain. And then that allows you to if he's in less pain, then you can focus more on strengthening the hip muscles and the quad muscles and kind of achieve his long-term goals. So that's kind of one example where you give up a little bit of performance with some static stretching so that he can tolerate doing the things that he needs to do to get back to where he needs to be.
That makes sense. And so just, I know it's hard to do this. I mean, you're one of my best friends, and I feel like I often struggle to get like just a clean answer when it comes to some of these questions, but like final and official verdict on static stretching in general, can we get a recap out of you? Can we get a verdict?
Okay. All right. It's not, we can get a verdict, but it's not like a yes or no. It's, you know, okay. Of course, like with most things, it's somewhere in between, but I can say this: if you're a healthy skater and you don't have any aches or pains or health issues, you don't need a static stretch. That's number one. Number two, if you're a healthy skater who is lacking flexibility and you feel like you would like to do some stretching to improve your flexibility, consider switching to dynamic stretching instead to get that flexibility. So that's number two. And then number three, if you're a healthy skater who loves static stretching and is not going to give up static stretching ever, no matter what, at least consider decreasing the amount of time that you static stretch so your performance isn't hindered too much. Those are my main points. Is that a...
It makes sense, yeah. I mean, I feel like it's, again, like what I want to hear as a skater who maybe doesn't love stretching. Like, okay, do it for a little bit, but not for that long. I don't need to do it for that long.
Yeah.
I back it. And I hope what you're talking about helps some skaters out there, or at least, you know.
Yeah, hopefully it just kind of puts some things into perspective.
Yeah. Cool. Well,
that's all, dude, I got.
Thanks so much. Yeah. Thanks for giving it to us, and look forward to talking to you more.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks, Walker.
Hell yeah. I'll talk to you soon. I'm always awkward with goodbyes.
All right.
Peace.